I'm going to call the January 10th, 2013 Code Enforcement Board meeting to order. Madam Secretary, if you call roll.
Here.
Mrs. Hines?
Here.
Mr. Bourne?
Here.
Mr. Smart?
Here.
Mr. Harrington?
Here.
And Mr. Brown is here, the acting chairman today. Everyone's here. Mr. Sino's here as well.
All righty. As you all notice, next on our agenda is our election of chair and vice chair. So that we can move things along expeditiously, we'll open up the floor for nominations for chair.
I nominate Rico Brown.
Second.
Been a motion and properly second. Any discussion?
No.
Any other nominations? Gotcha.
There is some discussion as to the matter of donuts. I did bring that up.
Gotcha. Seeing no further nominations, we'll close our nomination process for a chair. There's been a motion and a second to nominate Rico Brown for chair. All in favor? Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Congratulations, Mr. Brown. You've been elected chair of Code Enforcement. We'll open up the nominating process for vice chair. Any nominations?
I'll nominate Luigi Kundig.
Motion to nominate Ms. Kundig. Any other nominations? Seeing none, we'll close the process. Is there a second for the motion to nominate Ms. Kundig for our vice chair?
Second.
Motion has been made and properly seconded. Discussion? Seeing none, all in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Congratulations, Ms. Kundig. You've been elected vice chair. You can properly move over at the next meeting to your new assigned seat immediately to my right. All righty, at this time, is there any disclosure of any ex parte communications by members of the board? Okay, moving on. Let's hear announcements, please.
Mr. Brown, we do have several announcements this morning.
Always good to hear.
Yes. let's see. Case number one is in compliance as of January 7th, 2013. That's case number CEB0512-42 for 115 Palm Place. Case number two, CEB11-12-125 for 149 South Hollywood Avenue, number four, is in compliance as of January 4th.
Amy, it's actually January 7th.
Sorry, January 7th.
Which case is this?
Case number two.
Case number two, all right.
Case number six, CEB11-12-123 for 412 Wisteria Roads in compliance as of January 8th, 2013. We do have a small change to the agenda for case number eight. The last meeting we had added the new owners, which are Ian Altez and Shauna Conway. Joint tenants with right of survivorship should be added as a joint owner or as a respondent listed on the agenda. And also that case is here for compliance or non-compliance instead of imposed fine as it reflects on the agenda.
Okay.
Because it was continued from last month. Next is case number 19 for CEB011306 for 301 South Atlantic Avenue is in compliance as of January 10th.
As of January 9th?
Yes. And case number 21, CEB011308, or 1700 West International Speedway Boulevard, in compliance as of January 9th. Case number 24, CEB011310, is in compliance as of January 8th. Case number 25, CEB011311 for Cherry Street vacant lot is in compliance as of January 8th. Case number 26, 011312 for 636 El Dorado Street is in compliance as of January 8th. Case number 27, CEB011313 for 212 Garden Streets in compliance as of January 9th. Case number 30, CEB 01-1316 is in compliance as of January 9th. Also, that's for 215 Reva Street. And also, we have been asked by staff to move the lien reviews to the end of the agenda, if that's possible.
No problem, Rule.
I think that's it for me.
Okay. All righty. At this time, all members of staff that will be testifying today, if you'll please rise to be sworn in.
You solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you about provided, the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
All righty. Anyone approaching the microphone to speak to the board today, we ask that you do speak into the microphone as our proceedings are being recorded. Any attorneys present this morning? All righty. Seeing none, what we're going to do is take these cases in the order of the officer and the number of cases they have. Seeing that Barbara's case is already in compliance, we'll go to Mr. Fitzgerald. You'll come forward, and that is case number 15. Case number 15, CEB 01-1301, Derek T. Long, LLC. Property is located at 2727 North Atlantic Avenue, Suite 121. We see the respondent present. Mr. Fitzgerald, if you would like to tell us about it. Prior to that, if you want to swear in, Mr. Long.
State your
yes.
Raise your hand.
My name is Timothy Lou, L-U-O-N-G.
Okay. Raise your right hand. Please do solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. We'll hear from our code enforcement officer first, sir.
Good morning. My name is Mike Fitzgerald. I'm employed with the City of Daytona Beach as a code enforcement officer. My credentials are on file with the city. Case number CEB 01-13-01, Derek T. Long, LLC. Property address is 2727 North Atlantic Avenue, Unit 121. Parcel number 25-1432-1500C121. Violations Article 19, Section 1, 303.13 of IPMC, broken window. This is a photograph of the window, and I still don't know if it's fixed because they went ahead and installed hurricane shutters over it without a permit, so that's coming now to the next one.
Is that a commercial business there?
It's a commercial unit in a condominium.
Mr. Long?
Good morning.
Morning. What can you tell us, sir?
Well, it is true that the window there broke. It's quite obvious. And we did get permission to install the shutter. It's in process. I have evidence that it was installed by a contractor. So,
I don't think the question was who installed it. I think it was a matter of whether or not a permit was pulled
yes.
to install the shutters.
Yes.
Okay. You see the date because when I looked, it wasn't there.
Yes.
Oh, that's not the permit. That's
oh.
the violation.
Oh, sorry.
Okay.
I apologize.
And was the window replaced?
The window, we have a hard time to replace in the window. It's not a window, it's a sliding door. We have a hard time, we try to get a contractor to go in and do that. And I'm trying to get an estimate for that. And so far, they look at it and then walk away from the case. And so we're having a hard time trying to replace that. So in the meantime, what we have done is that we have tried to... I understand the fact that we have to replace those things because it's a good thing for the community, and I understand that. And we are trying to do that, but it's a hard thing to do at this moment in time. And we contact multiple contractors, window replacing, and they look at it and they walk away from it. So finally, we talked with the same contractor. We said, "Can you give us an estimate in a written form?" So we can take a look at it and see if we can do something about it. But meanwhile, we have placed it by the same contractor that shutter right there to protect the area. And this is here it is.
Right, that's your contractor, but he never pulled a permit.
It's the responsibility of the contractor to pull the permit, but it's your responsibility as the owner of the property to make sure that the contractor has a permit pulled. Any other questions?
Well, the other thing I was going to tell him was that glass needs to be tempered when it gets put in, not the way it is yet. Well, if you see the picture, it's broken out in that chart.
Yes.
That's not tempered, so it's commercial, so it will be tempered, make sure.
Well, that...
Because it's going to break in all kinds of very sharp pieces.
Right. I don't do these things. I normally contract it out.
Do you own the whole building or just this unit?
This just only one this particular unit, sir.
So this is a condo type thing?
It's a large, like, 15-story condo.
Okay.
It's a commercial unit.
Yeah.
But I when I do these things, I have to contract it out because I don't really do them.
Sure.
So I would assume that when I do these things, that's why I ask them to do it in a written form, so to make sure that they follow the code and the protocol, because I don't really know the different type of glasses.
I did take
precautions, yeah, to protect the area, as you can see that. I was about to show you the photograph, which is where you took the photograph that I have tried to do. And it's in process right now at this moment in time, and I've been requesting this written estimate for this project and the detail of it. And so far, I haven't got one. They said they would do it, but I haven't seen a written form yet. So that's what I'm waiting for right now.
Okay. How much time do you anticipate it will take to complete this?
To be honest with you, sir, as soon as I get something substantial, I'll take a look. I normally, when I do these things, I take a look at about two or three offers, for me to review, and then out of that I choose one. So, and I haven't got all the people that we call around in this area. We have only one contractor, which is the same contractor that put the survey in for me. That they agreed to respond to it.
You're asking him to simply replace the glass and not the entire window.
No,
the glass is the broken part to me.
Sometimes it's difficult,
right,
to do that.
But so if they replace the whole window, plus it all has to be, if he goes downstairs for permits and licensing, they'll give him a few window contractors that would for commercial.
Okay. David Hill, Daytona Beach Fire. There's been some changes on beachside, not beachside, of what type of glass or window needs to be there. So I'm not 100% sure if he needs what type of the wind resistant, if he were to replace that whole place or not, if he would need wind resistant. That's something he would need to get with the building department on. I would recommend he gets with permits and licensing to find out, to make sure he replaces it the right way and not waste his money and buy something and then have to replace it.
And they'll also give you some commercial window people that can come out and look.
Okay.
That's downstairs.
That's why I'm going through a contractor, because I understand the complexity of all these things that I'm not well versed in.
Dr. Long, how much time do you think you would need to get this fixed once you get your contractor?
Once I get an offer and things that act very quickly, within about a week, I approve the project, and it will take them time to go forward with that. But once I receive an estimate and what they're going to do and so on and so far, I normally go through three of these, take a look at them, and then after once I review that already, normally take me about a week, I will respond to it. And right now I have only one, and none that have been written.
Okay. Do you think if we gave you till February 6th, you'll be able to have this fixed or corrected?
If I have,
is the office being used?
Yes, the office has been used. Yes, sir. The office has been used, but okay. You can see that the whole area is protected. It's just that everything is protected. It's just that it's behind all that. There is no public nuisance.
From the inside, on the outside, I don't know what you've done.
From the inside, it has, because the door, it used to be a sliding door, but it's unused for over 10 years. So there's like a wall in there to protect it. So it had no things going into it, but from the outside perspective, it's a nuisance to the public. I have seen that, and I agree with that, and I have acted upon it right away. Meanwhile, I'm trying to go forward and replace this with code compliance.
Do you think you'd have this?
When he's open for business at any time, those shutters are not allowed to be there. Those shutters cannot. That has to be opened and gone. Those shutters are not allowed to be there. Typically, up when you drive up and down A1A and you see some shutters down, people that may live in a condo for 6 months at a time, they will put their shutters, down. But you can't have that while operating business. I'm not too sure about that business as far as exits and requirements without being there. But typically, you're not allowed to have shutters up while you're doing business on any type of door. So I would say to the owner here or representative, those are not allowed to be on there at all, and unless for some reason storms in some fashion actually are going to impact this area.
Well, do you think by March, the first or second week in March, you'd have this done? We need to give you a compliance date, and February isn't going to do it.
I understand.
I mean, what would be reasonable to you to have this done?
I think what I need right now is a list of contractors that would be willing to take a look at it, and I think March would be a more reasonable time for me to go for because I like to comply.
Okay. Do you admit that the violation existed at the time of notice?
Yes.
All righty. Chair would entertain a motion finding a respondent in noncompliance, allowing the respondent until March 6th.
Can we just have one more moment?
Sure. Sidebar?
Your motion, yes.
Sure.
The city's asking for it to be done by February, cutoff date, and if it can't be, to come back and find out why. Because if the doors are, if they're being closed and they're doing business, and while it's open, then it is a hazard.
Okay.
What do we include in our motion that the date decide? It has to be left open when it's doing business. You're saying because that's the issue, basically, safety issue that has to be left open.
The fire inspector said that they have to be open during business hours.
That's part of our motion.
And then maybe a piece of plywood over the glass on the in and the out in case it doesn't fall.
Two separate things here, and the one of them is not on the agenda.
Sorry, if Mr. Chair, if I can just speak for a moment, Tony Jackson. I'm just hearing the concern of the fire inspector, and I don't know if it's practical for him to be taking the shutters off and on. I don't know.
Well,
they look like they're...
No, they're recording.
Okay, all right. But the real point that I just was emphasizing, and I think the position of the city, just clarifying from the inspector, is that if there's any means for him to possibly get it done sooner, the preference of the city is to push for sooner than accept later, because it's something that it appears really needs to be remedied, and understand the desire to have estimates and all those types of things, but whatever it is that can just add a little push. Not that he's not working diligent or hadn't up to this point, but just something that can add a little push to assure that this thing is done as fast as it can be done, I think is more appropriate. And of course, it's the board's choice, and it's up to the board, but I think the position of the city is that it should be done as soon as it can. And if it's not, then y'all can consider why it's not in everything he tells you after that point, but I think it should be done as soon as it can be done.
I don't have any questions. Do we need to make a motion?
Well, yeah, we haven't, but if you want, you
to amend the motion?
Yeah. Hold on 1 second. Ms. Hines, okay. Did you have a question?
Yes. It's not a question. It's a statement. Even with the perforated glass, a business can get it fast. I mean, I had one bolt, and they can come out and replace it. They have places that are 24 hours.
Okay.
So I disagree with March.
Okay. Ms. Kundig, you had a motion?
Yeah, I'd like to move to find the defendant in noncompliance and give a date of next month, the February, what is it? February 6th to come into compliance.
Motion has been made to find the respondent in noncompliance, allow the respondent to come into compliance by February 6th or be returned to the board or for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
Second.
I mean, there's a second. Motion has been made and properly seconded. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed, same sign. All righty, motion carries. Dr. Long, what we've done, we found your noncompliance allowed you to come into compliance by February the 6th. We encourage you to go downstairs and get with the permitting department, and they will have a list of contractors who is able to provide the service that you are in need of.
I'll take them down there.
Okay.
Down
all right. Okay. Mr. Fitzgerald, we'll go down with you. Okay.
Well, thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir.
All righty. Danny, I think you have just one left. Case number 3, which is CB1112126, John and Francis Witherspoon, property located at 315 Michigan Avenue. As the respondent is here, we'll allow them to be sworn in, and then we'll hear from our code inspector.
Good morning. Could you both state your names into the microphone, please?
Francis Witherspoon.
John Witherspoon.
Can you raise your right hand, please? Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Thank you.
Danny, what can you tell us?
Well, we met this morning with McKittrick, Paul McKittrick, and we were discussing their options. And right now they're still discussing the termination. But what we're going to do is we're going to ask for 90 days and with permits in hand and a progress note each month. There
All
may
right.
be a time where they may be out of town, and what they'll do is give me a letter or shoot me an email or let me know what's going on, and then I'll just report to you guys.
So you're looking for a April 3rd compliance date with a monthly progress report?
April or May? Well, April. And if we have to amend, then we will.
Okay. All right. Anything else from the respondents? All right. Chair will entertain any questions from the board. Seeing none, Chair will entertain a motion allowing the respondent, amending our previous order, allowing the respondent to come into compliance on April 3rd, 2013, with a progress report to provide it by them and or representative to the code enforcement officer monthly.
That's correct.
Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion has been made.
Second.
Properly, motion has been made by Ms. Kondig, properly seconded by Mr. Smart. Any questions?
My question is, was this the property that's in question on zoning?
Yes.
Yes, and that's what we were discussing all this morning.
It still is.
It still is. And who's going to settle that? The Board of Adjustments?
We're all working on it with Paul McKittrick and zoning,
okay.
And the owners and I.
Okay.
And we will come up with a final conclusion on what's going to happen.
Okay, but it won't involve this board making a zoning decision.
No.
Okay.
Any other questions? Seeing none, motion has been made and properly seconded. All in favor say aye.
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 All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. What we've done, Mr. and Mrs. Witherspoon, is have allowed you to April 3rd, 2013, to bring the property in compliance, and again, giving either yourselves or providing the inspector with a monthly update to provide it at the meeting. All righty. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, Danny.
Okay.
All righty, Tom, you will come forward. Mr. Klieg? We'll take case number 7, which is CB121239, Gary and Debbie Hunter. Property is located at 319 Emory Drive. Is the respondent present? All righty. Mr. Klieg, what can you tell us?
Non-compliant and no contact. City's requesting a $100 a day fine, capped at $10,000.
All right. Any questions from members of the board?
Number 7.
Yes.
Are people living there?
No. It was a divorce, and it's probably going to go in foreclosure. But the pool is secure because there's a fence around it. But it's still green and stagnant since the case was open.
That was $100 a day?
Yes, sir.
All right. All right. The inspector's recommended a $100 a day fine. What's the?
Capped at $10,000.
Capped at $10,000. Or until the property is brought into compliance. Is there such a motion?
So.
Motion's been made and properly seconded. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
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 All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Case number 8, CB1212.
Did we make that fine effective today or effective the?
Was that effective today?
Yes.
Your motion.
Did we say that?
Yes.
Sorry, I didn't catch it if we did.
Second, Ms. Kundick.
Yes.
All right. Fine's effective today. All right, moving on, case number 8, CB1212141, Travis Lee Roby and Jacqueline G. Harmon, JTRS, property located at 725 North Peninsula Drive. Here today for compliance or noncompliance, is the respondent present?
Or Ian Altez or Shauna.
Or Ian
Altez and Shauna Conway.
And Ian Altez or Shauna Conway. Any of those respondents present? All righty, what can you tell us, Mr. Klieg?
I got with our legal secretary. I think we're going to have to amend this to the next cutoff because they have not received their green card. It came back undelivered so far. We have to post it.
So would we be amending or withdrawing?
That was the add-on, wasn't it?
Well, what had happened is the last meeting that we found that they recently purchased the owner.
Amy, can I interrupt you for a second?
Sure.
When you say they, could you tell me, are we talking about
the new owners,
Ian and Shauna,
right,
or who is Travis Lee? And
that's the original owner. Travis Lee Roby and Jacqueline Harmon were the original cited owners for this property.
Okay.
Initially.
They
last
owned
month,
the property when it was cited.
Yes.
Right.
And then at the last meeting, I was advised to recite the new owners because they disclosed about like a week before.
Inspector Klieg had mentioned that he was told by the owners that they had sold the property, and I verified it by looking it up on the clerk's website at the meeting last month. So that's why at the meeting we added the two, Ian Altez and Shauna Conway, who are the new owners.
But
we did not remove the original
right
owners.
And up to December 28th, they still, it says undelivered from the post office, so.
The new owners? It's
right,
undelivered
the new
owners. To
the new owners. Right.
So at the last meeting, I needed to notice the new owners of this proceeding.
Right.
I sent a copy of the order along with the original notice of violation and hearing by certified mail to the new owners, and it has not been signed for as of yet.
All right.
Is property posted?
No.
Not yet. That's
posted.
What I'm saying. That's why I was like to continue it.
So is that any motion, or we just continue it?
No, we need a motion.
All right. All right, by the inspector's recommendation and by the evidence before us, we'll entertain a motion to continue case number CB1212141 until our February 14th meeting. Is there such a motion?
So
motion has been made of Mr. Smart, seconded by Mrs. Himes. Any discussion? Go ahead.
We keeping the original respondents on also?
Our practice
has
been.
Yes.
So if we do that, if one of them has been notified, does that mean that all of them
no
have been notified? No.
No.
Okay.
The statute says that if we know there's a new owner, we have to give the new owner an opportunity to cure the problem.
Okay.
If he doesn't know about it, how can he cure the problem?
Right. Okay.
Is the new owner living at this property?
No. It was supposed to be converted back from a triplex to duplex, and I have made no contact. The property is rented as a duplex right now.
So where should we be sending the notice?
The legal address I've got is 725 North Peninsula.
The address on the deed was the deed. For the new owners was 725 North Peninsula.
Or they can post the property, but they have to do one or the other.
Right.
I would just wait until we got a response back, and the last one was December 28th. It came undelivered, and Amy had one, too, same thing. So I'm going to go ahead and post it again.
Is the property a duplex now or being used as
appears,
a duplex?
It appears to look like a duplex. I haven't got inside, but it was a triplex, as you know. And,
right.
It's, as far as I can see, it's a duplex.
Now it's a duplex?
Right. There was three mailboxes, and now there's two. But every time I go there's no tenants, you know, responding. And the previous owner said that the new owners would be here last meeting and this meeting, but still.
And where are the new owners from?
725 North Peninsula, I don't know.
Oh, so they live there?
That's the legal address we got in the deed. That's, I don't know where they live.
That's the mailing address that's listing for them on the warranty deed when they transferred the property, when they purchased the property.
And the county tax appraisals office hasn't came back on their phone yet. So.
But we'll cover ourselves once the property is posted, so we're doing the proper thing.
Yes, so I'm glad they can post it.
Okay.
Any other questions? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. All righty, we will go to case number 16. Case number 16 is CB011303 D Terra Green III LLC. Property is located on North Beach Street. Is the respondent present? All righty. Mr. Clegg, what can you tell us?
My name is Tom Clegg. I'm employed by the City of Daytona Beach as a code officer, and my credentials are on file with the city. Case number is CE2012-2274, City of Daytona versus De Terra Green III, LLC, care of Terra Mark, LLC. The property address is at North Beach Street. The former legal address was 957 North Beach Street, and it's parcel number ID 4414-3201-360200. Violation was failure to maintain the fence, and they got a tarp up there now that has graffiti on it. What I was going to do is going to transfer this case to Officer Garcia. He's got a special magistrate case Tuesday. Same property with a parking lot. So he got with the attorney, and they got an engineer, and they're supposed to take care of the cure of the whole problem. I think Officer Garcia was going to confirm that. Yeah, he had contact with him.
I'm in contact with the attorneys and the property owner. I've taken over the case, and I've let them know that the screens will be removed. They agreed on it. And also they're working on getting a fence contractor to get someone to replace the fence. And also, this should be done before the next cutoff.
Okay. All righty. Chair will entertain a motion finding the respondent in noncompliance, allowing the respondent to come into compliance by February 6, 2013, and will return to the board for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day. Such a motion?
So moved.
Motion made by Mr. Smart, seconded by?
Second.
Mr. Bourne, any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Case number 17, which is CB011304, Gloria Ricciardi. Property is located at 823 North Oleander Avenue. Is the respondent present?
Okay.
All righty. Mr. Clegg, what can you tell us?
Can I just have 1 second with them?
Yes.
This is a case I would like to continue again. I just got with my legal secretary, and the property was not posted again until January 8th. The gentleman owns the property. I mean, he did the driveway work. He works for FEMA, and he's still up, I guess, in New York. And his mother, who owns the house, has not signed for the green card. And I was on vacation, and it should have been by January 2nd, but I didn't get it posted to the 8th.
Okay.
So I'm going to have it continue.
Chair will entertain a motion to continue with case number CB011304 until our February 14th, 2013 board meeting. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Bourne, seconded by Ms. Himes. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Thank you, Mr. Clegg. I believe that takes care of your cases. We will go now to Mr. Newell. We'll go back to case number 4, but just to clear up this page, we want to remember case number 1, CB051242, Dorothy Lutz estate was in compliance as of January 7th. Case number 2, CB 1112125, Hugh and Cynthia Barrett, property located at 149 South Hollywood Avenue, number 4, is in compliance as of January 7th. And case number 3 has been disposed of. Case number 4, 1112134, Beach Property Investment Group, LLC, DBA, Bayview Hotel. Is a respondent present?
Mm-hmm.
All right, if you can introduce yourself, say your name and address in the microphone, and be sworn in.
Yes, Ted Sanders, Stillwater Companies Realty, and my address is 2307 Hontoon Road in DeLand.
Your relation to the property owner?
We are a court-appointed receiver. Stillwater Companies is a property management, a real estate company, and a construction company, and we do property management, and we also do receivership work. We're a newly appointed receiver for this property.
Okay.
Raise your right hand. Please do solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
I do.
All righty. We'll hear from our inspector first. Fire. What is your proper title, Mr. Newell?
Fire inspector.
I thought so. We'll hear from our inspector first, Mr. Newell, and then we'll have you respond, sir.
Thanks, Mr. Chair, members of the board. David Newell, City of Daytona Beach Fire Department. My credentials are on file with the city. This is case number 11-12-134, Beach Property Investment Group, LLC, the Bayview Hotel against the city of Daytona Beach. This is the property that we gave 60 days on for the fire escape out the back for permits. They were applied for. The permits were applied for. They were rejected and sent back in the last 60 days for noncompliance with codes. So we have not received them back and updated. Back on, and I believe Ted or Mr. Sanders here will affirm, I believe they were awarded receivership on the 4th, and he took possession kind of on Monday. So we're asking for a continuance of 30 days to make sure proper notification is done, and then they can move forward with getting this fire escape corrected.
Yes, sir.
Chairman, members of the board, thank you so much for having us here. Stillwater Companies, we get into a number of properties in various conditions. And through the foreclosure process, sometimes the lenders feel as though a third party would be better as far as taking over the property. And when a receiver is appointed, the receiver basically takes the owner's position. The owner is required by the courts to no longer be involved in the property at all. They're removed from the property throughout its management, and then we come in. As Mr. Newell said, the judge's signature on the receivership order was the 4th, which was last Friday. We actually didn't receive it back by email until Tuesday the 8th. So I haven't even actually been into the property yet, but we've been around the property. We've taken several photos, and the fire escape that we're referring to, there had been several other code issues involved in this property, but specifically the fire escape is in very bad shape. There has been a contractor hired to fabricate and install this fire escape, so I'm told, from the previous management company. And there has actually been somewhere in the neighborhood of $4,000 to $5,000 given to that contractor to initiate that fabrication. I believe through that previous management company that it's going to take a few more weeks for the fabrication to be done. Well, the permitting to be done and then the fabrication to be completed. So we may be into the end of February before the actual installation of this fire escape is complete. But whatever time you can give us, we would appreciate, being we just landed on the property and are just manning the property and taking it over.
We believe that it probably will take a little bit more than 30 days. However, the fact that you granted them 60 days ahead of time, we would like to ensure that the movement is moving forward. Mr. Sanders, since taking over the property, has been in contact with me. Even if you wanted to require it to make sure that by our next meeting that permits are in hand, You know, the city's fine with that. I just do not want to grant another 60 days to get done. Maybe look at maybe 30 days for permits to be applied for and issued prior to the next meeting may be more of an appropriate motion. I just don't want to go another 60 days. Remember, this is the actual secondary means of egress for the people in this hotel. They're only second way out, and it's not very safe and sturdy, if you remember.
What are we dealing with? I'm sorry.
How
many people live in the building? How many units are there?
I think there's like 47 units.
David, do you feel that if your family was living in this building and there was a fire, they would be safe?
No, I don't believe that it's safe. There's holes in the actual decking itself or the floor. There has been some stuff put over that to ensure that nobody can just fall through, which is a temporary measure. However, it is not structurally sound and up to code, whether that's building nor fire. And that's why we're looking for the...
Does the fire department not have the authority to say you can't have any residents in here until you fix this because it's dangerous? Do they have that authority, or is that left to us?
We kind of have that authority. The problem that lies with that is that if we do that, we now, the city is responsible, and Mr. Jackson, correct me if I'm wrong, sir, we have to now house everybody in that actual, whoever's there, we have to house them somewhere. And I'm going to defer that to Mr. Jackson.
Yeah, I think the better answer is I don't know if we've assessed it to that point to make that type of determination at this stage. And that's a determination ultimately that would be obviously an up management determination, and I'm sure Mr. Newell will be happy to talk with management and decide if that's something that the city would pursue. Right now, it's just a general judgment on his general understanding of the circumstances.
Yeah, well, I feel that I'm understanding the circumstances, and David, you have 15 or 16. Evidently, we've not had a lot of inspections over the years, and we've got people living in places that are not safe, and we're going to talk the legalese about it. I don't know what the insurance companies do, which is not my business, but I don't like the situation that we're asked to keep giving more and more time to fix up something which potentially is a right now is a danger to 47 or more tenants.
Mr. Harrington and members of the board, of course, ultimately this the question of how much time is allowed and what action the board wants to take is the authority of the board in terms of the amount of time and those types of things. And so if the board wants to make determinations of a shorter time period, that's based upon the information that's being received, and that's 100% within the purview of the board, and the staff isn't asking the board not to make the decisions that the board ought to be making.
I'm just trying to follow this. We told the people they had to get a permit to fix a fire thing because it's a fire hazard, and they simply reject it out of hand. So the city is now has then taken the responsibility of saying we're out of it, come back with another permit.
Mr. Smart?
I just don't...
Oh, after Mr. Harrington.
I'm concerned about this because we've got others like this, and it's not the new management that's at fault, but you are going to be responsible.
I do want to make one note. If something were to happen right now, there's the interior stairs that people could get out. Now, if the interior stairs are blocked or that's where the fire occurs, could people get out those stairs right now? Yes, they could. Is it up to code and is it 100? Is it safe? I don't know, but we're playing with a little bit of a balance here, working with, you know, this wasn't this gentleman's problem. It was the other individual's problem also. I very much appreciate, Mr. Harrington, how important you'd like to make this in getting this done. And I think Mr. Sanders is probably getting the message. So we want it done as quickly as possible. But if you were to turn around right now and have to get out, the doors do open to it. You can get down the stairs. However, it's still not
how it's supposed to be and safe. So that's about the best answer I can probably give you.
Mr. Smart?
Mr.
He had a question.
I have a question for you.
Yes, sir.
Is there any other alternative to guarantee the protection of the occupants other than the inside stairs?
Well, this property, I'm not going to give you a guarantee. What I will tell you is that the property is sprinkled, so it has a full sprinkler system and alarm system. That in this process, when we were did the violations, they did have problems with those sprinkler and alarm systems, and they've corrected all those issues. So, short of the last time I was there and did the inspection on all that, their alarm system was good, their sprinkler system was good, and was up to code. So if a fire does occur, you know, it's in hope that sprinkler system is going to put that out quickly, unless somebody, again, that there's other things that are in place to make people safe. However, this is still another avenue that needs to be fixed and corrected.
I think Mr. Harrington and I agree that the bottom line is the protection of the people living there.
And I agree with you both also.
Mr. Newell, question for you, and then I'll allow you to respond, sir. The permit for the stairs to be replaced, is that possible to be pulled by February 6th? I know the installation, if you will, can't happen by then, but is the process of pulling the permit able to be done by February 6th?
It can be done as of next week. What basically happened, they submitted the permits. There was some issues with that. We gave them the reference Florida Building Code and Fire Prevention Code, things that needed to be changed on the drawings to make sure that it's sufficient. It's not a lot of stuff. They don't have to go in and reconstruct a brand new set of plans. They have to go in, make some adjustments or changes on the blueprints. State, for an example, one of the things is they have to put fire-rated glass in one of the windows. The slats in the actual
stairwell.
As you're going down the stairs, the supporting beams, I guess, I can't think of the proper term, are too far apart. So they're going to have to add, because your spacing is too far, people can fall through. So those, they have to add more of those in there. So we're just talking somebody, whoever the contractor is, go in, making a couple adjustments and resubmitting. Upon resubmittal, we'll look at it right away and sign off on it.
Okay. Ms. Kundig?
Mr. Noel, are all the windows fixed?
Yes, all the windows and everything are corrected. The only thing we're dealing with now is the actual fire escape. And on here it also shows the door to the fire escape. Essentially, the door opens, but the door is required to self-close and come back. Because of the actual fire escape stairs now and the way it's bowed and all that, it won't self-close. So once they actually fix the fire escape, the door should self-close also. I mean, it does.
What is the construction of this building? Is it wood frame? Is it?
No, I'm pretty sure it's block.
I think it's
block construction on the outside. The floors and the floors are of a wood frame construction with decking. And if memory serves me correctly, I believe the roof is either a tar and gravel or it's some type of steel beams of some sort. I can't remember
how
off the top of my head.
How old is the building?
Oh.
I mean, do you know how old the building is?
20s,
approximately. We don't know how old
30s.
The building is.
It's 50 years old plus.
Okay. Yeah, it's over 50
years old.
It's
50
years old
plus.
It's 70 years old or so.
Yeah. How many stories is it?
Three. One,
three
two, three. Three or four.
Mr.
Chairman.
Yes, sir.
You've already found this property non-compliant, which is good.
Right.
It's our responsibility at this point to hearing to impose fine. We can, if you want to give them till the February 6th meeting, fine. But they need to understand that at the February 6th meeting, this board can go ahead and institute a fine up to $1,000 a day, and we can order the property to be vacated. We feel there's a health, safety, and welfare. We're not getting the information from the city whether there is or isn't. The city needs to let us know that at the next meeting, because if there is a health, safety, welfare issue, then we're going to have to order it to be vacated. No choice.
Can we oppose a fine starting today? That's
Correct.
What we're voting on, right?
We'd asked absolutely. We had asked for a continuance in the next 30 days because they were not properly notified as the new receivership. So we wanted to make sure that they were I don't know. I'm maybe ask Mr. Jackson on that. That
the
we wanted to make sure.
Has been properly noticed.
I'm sorry?
Receiver has been properly noticed.
As of now. Okay. As of now, because he just took it over on Tuesday.
And we can't question
right. that. Well, I'll do one that's. Well,
yeah, I'll obviously, if he hasn't been properly noticed, we can. He is now, but.
So he is now, so does that mean we can or cannot?
We cannot.
Impose a fine today?
Cannot.
Right, we cannot.
If I can ask the board. It's a life safety issue. Stillwater companies, we deal with a lot of properties throughout the whole state. We're certainly not looking to delay this. I'm happy to be here to the board February 6th. If I can expedite this, I certainly will. Here's what I think's happened. I've got a call into the contractor. I haven't got a call back yet. I just found out the contractor's name yesterday. Because of the property, everybody knew it was through the foreclosure process, and ultimately it led to the receivership. I think the contractor just didn't know if he was ever going to get his money, didn't know if it was ever going to go forward. So it was kind of somewhat stopped. And as Mr. Newell had said, the process of making the adjustments necessary on the plans to get them approved were not difficult. He just didn't feel as though maybe it was ever going to happen or be to his benefit because it was probably, I mean, he didn't know who was going to come along and whether the building was going to be stopped or sold and somebody else was going to come in and say, we don't want you to do it, we want somebody else to do it. So I have a feeling that that's the case, and I promise the board I will be out there. You know, I'm going to get with that contractor. I'm going to drive to his office today, okay, to attend to this matter. And I will look at. We haven't even been up on the fire escape. If there is an issue that we can do some maintenance on, the fire escape needs to be replaced. There's no doubt about it. It's rusted and appears to be original, okay. And the deferred maintenance, which ultimately led to this whole process of foreclosure and then the appointment of the receiver, is evident by a lot of the properties we take on for you know deferred maintenance. So trust me, I know that this is a life safety issue. There have been a lot of accomplishments in the life safety issues on the building so far, but not the last and final one, which is this fire escape. So if I can ask the board for a 30-day continuance. Let me see where I can get in 30 days, and I'll be happy to come before the board again.
I would like the board to make sure, if we can have in the motion, that permits be pulled with 30 days. I mean, I want it all completed, but I don't want coming back 30 days from now. Well, we're trying to find another contractor, so on and so forth. I want I'd like it completed in 30 days. But I also, if we can put in there essentially that permits are pulled, that's what I would like to see to ensure that this gets completed. And like I said, every dealing I've had with Mr. Sanders over the last day and a half has been great. But again, this is a life safety issue that I want to move forward and make sure it gets corrected very quickly.
Well, I just wanted to confer with the attorney just to make sure we're covered legally. Because the new owner was not properly notified, I'm not certain that we're able to add anything to the previous motion aside from amending our previous order until next cutoff. So that's the motion that we'll have to make, and the chair will entertain a motion amending our previous order and allowing the respondent until February 6th to bring the property in compliance. It will be returned to the board for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day. Ms. Himes has the motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Bourne. Any discussion?
Yes. Mr. Sino, can you answer this for me? Is a receiver the same thing as an owner?
No, it's not the same thing as an owner, but he has responsibility for the property.
So is Beach Properties still the owner?
No, did they foreclose on that?
Beach Properties is still the owner.
Yes. I spoke to them this morning, and they said they were.
Okay. So they're still the owner. So we don't have. There's no new owner to notify.
But the court has gone ahead and given him the authority to act. So there's a court order now. Making him the receiver. He acts in the shoes of the owner now. He needs to be notified.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions? Seeing none, all in favor of the motion say aye.
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 All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Mr. Sanders, what we've done is given you until February 6th, 2013, to bring the property in compliance and be returned to us for consideration of fine. We encourage you to please stay in constant contact with Mr. Newell of any developments that change with the property.
Thank you so much, board.
Do you have your address? Does Amy have your address? And we can notify you.
All righty. Mr. Newell, since you're still up, we'll go ahead and move on to.
How about 2 months? I'll be in touch.
Okay, thanks.
Case number 5, which is CEB 111236, Jesse Glock and Delmer Glock as JTRS DBA Hotel Del Mar, property located at 209 South Ridgewood Avenue. Today we are here to consider an imposition of a fine. Is the respondent present?
Yes.
All right. You can state your name, address, and be sworn in, please, sir.
Delmar Glock. I live at 209 South Ridgewood Avenue.
Raise your right hand, please. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
All right. We'll hear from Mr. Newell, and then we'll hear from you, Mr. Glock.
David Newell, City of Daytona Beach Fire Department, here about case number 11-12-136, Jesse L. Glock and Delmar J. Glock, Jr. as JTRS Hotel Del Mar. Everything has been corrected with the exception of the signs. Staff's recommendation is a continuance to next cutoff on this one also because, if you remember, Mr. Glock's in the middle of painting his building. After speaking with him this morning, he says that he'll should be able to have the painting done by next meeting. What they found in, if you remember from last meeting, they were in the process of scraping a lot of that paint off. In that, from what he has told me, they found a lot of wood that's needed to be replaced. So there's been some added work. So basically, the only things that we have left are just proper signage, lightweight truss sign that has to be put on, fire department connection sign to be placed on, and you know, basically signage, nothing that is impairment of any system on the property. So we're, you know, staff's recommending just to continue to next month so he could complete the finishing touches on his painting of the building and install the proper signage for us.
Okay. Mr. Glock, would you like to add anything?
I have all the signs ready to put up, just waiting for it to get done.
Okay. Questions from members of the board? Recommendation of staff is to amend our previous order and allow the respondent to on February 6th to bring the property in compliance to be returned to the board for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Bourne, seconded by Mr. Smart. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. We've allowed you until February 6th to bring the property in compliance. Again, if you run into anything, please get in contact with Mr. Newell.
Mr. Chair, could I interrupt for a second and
yes,
ask
ma'am.
A question? Maybe this is for you, Hector. It seems that we've had a lot of cases today where because ownership is changing hands and moving back and forth and foreclosures and this and that, the people aren't being properly noticed, and it takes us then longer to get the system to work. Is there any way that we could just post the house every time that there's, so we don't have to go through this? Is that?
I think, and I guess it's part a dual answer here, so
okay.
I can have the confirmation from Hector. As you say, it's something that we're seeing today. Mm-hmm. I don't believe it's all that uncommon as we shift through the holiday season for us to have questions about assurance of delivery. And so the fact that we don't have green cards back and things like that, it's not as unusual as we shift through this over to the new year. And along with that, because there's so much activity with vacation and so forth, I think that the normal process would be, as soon as we know that we hadn't had actual service, is to run out there and get them posted. But under the regular process, I don't know that that's really been a problem that would, to step into the position of posting everything is going to be a manpower issue.
Okay.
that would be overwhelming.
But my other question is not, I'm not faulting anyone other what I was really talking about is receiverships and foreclosures and that we don't have any knowledge of until, you know, 2 days before a hearing, and right. That's not anyone's fault. So I'm just looking to address that.
And to I understand your point, but to give credit to the Stillwater Company, the minute they received the ownership, they did call me,
okay.
Leave a message for me to get back to them to explain the
okay.
situation. However, when it goes from my hands and the judge decides that, you know, for example, Mr. Jackson is going to deal with the property now, all I did was in the situation for
this company that just came up, the Bayview Motel, just say to them, hey, by the way, you got to appear in a special, a code enforcement board hearing on Thursday. He got the notice on Tuesday.
Right, I understand.
So in that instance, he called me. I put him in contact with the inspector, Inspector Newell, and he explained the situation to us, so that's why the continuance was asked. Now, this may happen, but it'll be a rare occasion, unfortunately, in this situation, due to the holidays, like Mr. Jackson said. You know, there is a time frame, post office, mail, everything else, so that's why this has happened. Does that somewhat answer you, or?
Yeah, somewhat, because I'm not just thinking about that case, but the other case on Peninsula, where the owners changed, you know, and then we had to go back and do it again because there were all these foreclosures and that we have coming up. And when somebody buys a house, is this information available to them, or they
not
take over?
It is not readily available. Or the actual filing goes into effect. It could be, and I'm just throwing an exuberant number out there, it could be between 35 to 45 days before it actually comes online.
Okay.
And that's when we're finding out.
Yeah.
The statute says that they're supposed to notify us and notify everyone and all of those things, but there's no penalty. No, in statute for it, I'm not doing it. But the statute says everyone should be noticed when it's changing hands. Mm-hmm. But that's just, you know, the reality of it is,
right.
Is when we know,
right,
we know.
Absolutely.
And we can't really do a whole lot about it.
Okay, thank you.
All right. All right, next case is number 18, CB011305, Geppa Hotel, owner Daytona Beach, LLC, DBA Hilton Daytona Beach, Walk Village, property located at 100 North Atlantic Avenue. Representative is here. If you can identify yourself, state your name and your relation to the property owner.
Yes, good morning. My name is Robert Jeremiah. I am the Director of Engineering at the Hilton Daytona Beach, 100 North Atlantic Avenue.
If you can be sworn in, please.
Raise your right hand, please. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
All right, we'll hear from our inspector first, and then we'll allow you to respond, sir.
I'm going to pass out a little packet here real quick so to help shed a little light on some of this for you. David Newell, City of Daytona Beach Fire Department, here for case number CEB01-13-05, Geppa Hotel owner, Daytona Beach LLC, doing business as the Hilton versus City of Daytona Beach. This is going to be, the violations for this property are repair deficiencies based on the sprinkler contractor's report. From the past, I don't know if you guys remember, we actually have, we review all of the inspections that fire alarm, sprinkler alarm companies do within the City of Daytona Beach. Back in June, the annual inspection was performed, and then back in, that'd be September, the quarterly was performed. After I saw the quarterly report, a notice of violation was placed to repair the deficiencies. There were numerous deficiencies. Let me grab my paper here real quick. There was numerous deficiencies that involved the sprinkler system, the alarm system, how it reports, how the sprinkler system reports to the alarm system. This property, if you can imagine, is very big. So there's a lot of issues with different types of dry systems, wet systems. There's a lot of different types of systems on this property. What you have in front of you, the page, not the front page, but the back page, I believe is the paperwork all in kind of what has been accomplished, what needed to be done, and then the front page is what is left, okay? And this is what I want to address, what is left. If you look at that front page, you'll see a lot of items. We also have the contractor here also, Mr. Bob Skinner from Wigington Fire, which is who this proposal's from. I just want to review this stuff so I can give you a good understanding. What I'm recommending is 14 days for compliance for everything on here, with the exception of these of heads that need to be sent off, and I'll go off go over that in a minute. Met with Mr. Jeremy and Mr. Skinner yesterday. I have laid out to them the most important items that need to be corrected first, second, third. First thing being immediately that they need to get in there and take the heads. They have 10-year-old heads that have to be tested, meaning there's some corrosion on them. They have to be tested to see if they operate. They send those off. If they come out to be fine, then they don't have to replace them, and then they'll have to do that again in 5 more years. That helps the property owner because there are so many of them, and correct me if I'm wrong, there's over 100, Bob, is that, or correct? Is it over 100? There's over 100. If they were to replace all of those sprinkler heads, if they have to replace them, and we're talking over $16,000. So we're trying to, there's another fashion or another way with code that allows them to test those heads, a fraction of those, to make sure that they work. Okay? So those are, that is the number one thing that has to be done first. The second thing is the 55 heads and some of the other heads that are either corroded or painted have to be corrected immediately. So those need to be changed, okay? And then as it goes down, there's other issues dealing with the pump, the actual some of the valves, and actually the 5-year internal inspection. The least out of all of this is the 5-year internal inspection. Basically what that means is they go in every 5 years, they look at the riser, they look inside, they make sure that there's not a lot of sedimentation, you don't find Coke cans, you don't find stuff inside that is restricting the flow in the event that a sprinkler head goes off. And you would be amazed in probably what you would actually find in some of these systems. So on the latter part of, that's the least of all of that. All of this to be completed within 14 days. The only thing is the heads that are that are going to be tested, we're requesting 60 days on those. Now, he will replace the heads that are there that they're going to take out, but 60 days because, in our experience, it takes 6 to 8 weeks for the testing company to give the results. Keep in mind the property is protected with the heads that he takes down with other heads already at the moment. But we want to expedite that process to get the sprinkler heads taken down, sent off, so I can make that time frame shorter and get that done quick, more I can shorten that time frame and control that time frame a little easier. I know this is kind of a lot, and it's a lot to kind of look at. We've tried to make it as easy as possible for you guys to try to understand. Basically, there's issues on the sprinkler system. They have done a lot of work out there. I don't want you to think that they haven't done a lot of work out there. They have. This is what is remaining. And these are very important items, as you well know. And typically I come, and the reason why I'm asking for 14 days versus, you know, I always come and I ask for kind of 10, is the contractor explained to me yesterday there's no way he can get this accomplished in 10 days because of the amount of work. So that's why I'm asking for 14 days. On the sprinkler, or on all that, on all what we talked about. 15 days. Isn't it always 15? Are we 15? Is 15 or 14 easier? Does it matter? Neither? Sorry, Amy.
If it's not the next cutoff.
Okay.
Mr. Miller, is this a regularly scheduled thing?
This is it's an annual inspection. They actually have quarterly inspection. The one you're looking at is their quarterly, which was September. So they had their annual in June, quarterly in September, and then.
These issues just came up on this.
No, they were. If you look, they were notified on 9/20. They were notified on 9/20, which I don't. Let's see the date. Of the actual original one. They were notified on 9/20.
Inspection date was a 9/11.
Oh, look, yeah, 9/11, I'm sorry. No, that was their inspection date. The inspection date of the sprinkler contractor was 9/11. My notice to them was 9:20.
Okay.
So they should have been accomplished by 10:20. Now, realizing there's other stuff that was accomplished from this inspection report, this is what's left. And again, some of the other stuff that they did was very significant, and you know, Bob from the sprinkler contractor can also. And some of it had to deal with the having the alarm contractor come in, and they worked with the alarm contractor to get some of these other systems working. They have a huge issue with the beach and the ocean, dealing with the corrosion issues. So these are things that we see a lot on beachside.
I know that they have a huge maintenance there. I don't see a lot of deferred maintenance, so I'm just.
No, it isn't. I'm just concerned that this didn't come up in the last annual inspection, say in 11, that these issues came up, because it seems that they all couldn't have just come up in the last 5 months.
I don't have that information. It's possible. But they look at different things, and maybe Bob from the sprinkler contractor can help you out little bit with understanding that. There's certain things they look for on annuals, and there's certain things. They don't look for everything on a quarterly inspection. They look for on an annual.
Right. What I mean, as you know, when you let things go, they pile up, and then you have 25 things to do instead of three. So.
Right.
But I know that hotel does a real good job of continual maintenance, so that's probably not the issue.
All right. We'll hear from the respondent at this time. Do you have anything to add? Or?
Like Mr. Newell said, first of all, I am all about fire safety. And we do have a signed contract for the remaining work that needs to be done. Wingington is aware of it, and he's given me the 14 days. He said he can get it done in the 14 days. So like I said, we're go ahead on this, and we're going to move forward with it.
Okay. Any other questions from the board? All right. Before us, at the inspector's request, is to allow the respondent until, make sure I got this right, Mr. Newell, March 6th for the heads.
For the testing of the 10-year heads. All other heads that are corroded, the 55, the easiest way to probably put this, all sprinkler heads that are required to be sent out for testing would be the March 6th date.
All other violations to be corrected by January 24th.
Correct.
All righty. Amy, did you get that? Repeat it, please, Dave.
What exactly do you have as far as that you're reading off? Is that a list of what is outstanding that he needs to complete within 14 days?
It's the entire list. So what I can do is I can give you this list and highlight the one item that would be the March 6th, if that's easy for you.
Right. So that, I mean, it looks pretty extensive. So
it is. Is it,
which number is it on here? Does Amy have one of these?
No,
because I'm looking at it now. It would be. Hold on.
That's why I can use that as an attachment.
Amy needs to have any.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely. Well, I only ended up making enough to.
Just tell me which number we need for the March, and then I'll make sure Amy gets mine.
It is.
As an attachment with the order.
Is it number 8?
Mine doesn't show the numbers on it.
Here.
Mine doesn't show numbers.
No,
number 7.
Number 7.
Number
okay.
7. So number 7 would have to be corrected by the March 6th date, all the rest of it by the 24th.
Okay. All right. Board members have a copy of this. What we're doing is making a motion allowing the find the respondent noncompliance, allowing the respondent until January 24th to bring items 1 through 6 and 8 through 12 into compliance, and allowing the respondent until March 6, 2013 to bring item number 7 into compliance. Is there such a motion?
So
motion been made by Mr. Smart, seconded by Mr. Bourne. Any questions, Amy?
I have no idea.
Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. As you can understand, sir, we've given you until March on the item number 7 on the report, and every other item needs to be into compliance by the 24th of this month, or you'll be returned to the board for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day. All righty. Just so we'll clear up page 5, case number 15 has been dealt with. Case number 16 has been dealt with. Case number 17 we've addressed. Case number 19 was in compliance as of January 9th. We'll move to case number 20, which is CB011307, Daytona JTTT LLC, doing business as Suburban Extended Stay Daytona, property located at 220 Bill France Boulevard. Is the respondent present?
No.
All right. And Mr. Newell, what can you tell us?
All right. David Newell, City of Daytona Beach Fire Department, here for case number CEB01-13-07, Daytona JTTT LLC, Suburban Extended Stay. This is an inspection based upon issues with the fire sprinkler system and the lightweight truss sign, which is based on the construction of the building. They have to have a sign on the front of the building. As of yesterday, neither one of these were completed. Just so you understand the extensiveness on this property also with the sprinkler system, I have probably looking at right here almost 20 heads that are corroded and not operational. They are not working. They also don't have their backflow or certification for their backflow preventer also. I was contacted by the contractor this morning. They are scheduled to go next week to make all these repairs. We're asking for non-compliance 14 days.
14 days again, that would be the 24th?
Yes.
All right, any questions from the board? Chair will entertain a motion finding respondent in non-compliance, allowing the respondent until January 24th, 2013 to bring the property in compliance or return to the board for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day. Such a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Motion made by Mr. Harrington, seconded by Mr. Bourns. Any discussion? None. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Case number 21 is in compliance as of January 9th, 2013. Case number 22, CB011309, International Speedway Square and Bed Bath & Beyond Incorporated, doing business as Bed Bath & Beyond, store number 236, located at 2500 West International Speedway Boulevard. A respondent present?
Yes.
You can step to the microphone, state your name, introduce yourself and your relation to the company.
My name is Thomas Helland. I am the store manager.
Okay.
H-E-L-L-A-N-D.
All right. We'll hear from Mr. Newell, and then we'll give you an opportunity to respond, sir.
David Newell, Daytona Beach Fire Department, case number CEB01-13-09, International Speedway Square Limited and Bed Bath & Beyond Incorporated, store number 236. This is also a sprinkler issue, basically non-compliance, next cutoff 30 days. The difference with this property is the only issues they have are the sprinkler contractor was unable to get access to the backflow preventer valves, and there's that five-year internal inspection that needs to be completed. So there's no impairments on the system like some of the other ones we've been discussing earlier. So non-compliance, next cutoff.
All right. Anything to add?
The area in question as far as getting to the sprinklers back by our receiving area. Since then, we have gone ahead and made sure that everything's cleared. We've also painted it off and made sure it's a no merchandise zone, so there should be no problem getting to it anymore. Also, we do have a scheduled date for the inspection for next Tuesday, the 15th.
So. Do you acknowledge that some or all of the violations existed at the time of notice?
Yes.
All righty. Chair will entertain a motion finding the respondent non-compliance, allowing the respondent to February 6, 2013 to bring the property in compliance or be returned to the board consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion made by Mr. Smart, seconded by Mr. Bourns. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. All righty, sir. Next case is CB011318, ESO Fairways, LLC, and Fairway Apartments, LLC, doing business as Fairway Apartments. Property located at 1350 Virginia Avenue. Is a respondent present or a representative?
Yes.
Okay. Ma'am, if you can come to the mic, state your name and your relationship to the owner.
Good morning. My name is Lou Soler, and I work for Harbor Group Management Company. S-O-L-E-R. E-R. Luz, L-U-Z. And I work for Harbor Group Management Company. I'm the property manager of Fairways Apartments, located at 1350 Virginia Avenue.
All right, if you can raise your right hand and be sworn in, please.
Yes.
All righty. We'll hear from our inspector, ma'am, and then we'll give an opportunity to respond.
All right, David Newell, City, Daytona Beach Fire Department, case number 01-13-18, ESO Fairways, LLC, and Fairway Apartments. Fairway Apartments. Reinspection yesterday, we did complete some of the items. I'm just going to run through what the notice of violations were. We had grills that were stored on the second story balcony and actually in some apartments. We had an improper lock. We're not allowed to have a keyed lock on the inside of an apartment. So basically, you can't, where you would normally come into your place, you'd have a deadbolt, you would put a key in. You can't have the same thing on the inside to get out. It has to be like a thumb turn of some sort. So we had that in one unit. The lightweight truss sign also was not installed for that property. We had no access to the fire alarm control panel in the city of Daytona Beach. 2008, we required anybody who has a fire alarm or sprinkler alarm system to have a what is called a Knox box. So we have access, because what we have a lot of times is where we have false alarms or alarms at these properties, we can't get in and check the alarm and find out where the issue could be because we can't get in there. So now we're breaking down doors. We're destroying some property. So in an effort to be more business friendly, we instituted this program so we could get access to find out what the problem is and correct it more readily and sooner. Smoke detectors missing in 2-9, 11, and 21. Or not working, fire alarm control panel sign, the extinguishers were out of date, there was an electrical cover plate that was missing in unit 2, exposed wires that were missing in the storage room where the fire alarm control panel was, and there was exit lights and emergency lights that were had been torn down, taken down, whatever the case was, and then their business license was not posted or on the property. As of yesterday on 1-9, the grills have been taken care of, the fire extinguishers have been taken care of, the electrical plate in Unit 2 have been taken care of, the exposed wires have been taken care of, and the emergency lights and exit lights have been taken care of. So basically what's left remaining is the truss sign, the Knox box, the fire alarm control panel sign, and the business license. In addition to the smoke detectors, I just want to bring this to your attention. The smoke detectors here that are left that were not working were in units now that are currently vacant. And when these are vacated, the power, they have meters for each specific unit, so the meter is pulled. So essentially what happens, obviously, after a day or so, the battery goes dead, but there's nobody utilizing these units. I looked yesterday. There's nobody in these units. There's no furniture. There's no nothing. The property manager has assured me that when people do move into those, they do make sure those work. I will tell you, in all the other units where people were living, smoke detectors worked. So essentially, what we're looking for is noncompliance, next cutoff for the remaining items.
Ms. Soler, if you would like to add anything.
The truss sign, the Knox box, and the FAC sign, they all on order, have copies of the order number. And I also requested a check to be delivered to the city of Daytona Beach today. for to get the license, the city the occupational license, has been delivered today. So, okay. But everything else is in order.
Okay. The inspector's recommendation. Chair will entertain a motion to find a respondent in noncompliance, allowing the respondent until February 6th, 2013, to bring the property into compliance, return to the board for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day, and consideration of a one-time fee of $250 for the occupational license. Is there such a motion?
So moved. Second.
Motion made by Mr. Smart, seconded by Mr. Bourns. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. We've given you until February 6th to bring all of the items addressed today that are not in compliance into compliance, ma'am.
Right. Chairman, board, thank you.
Yes, sir. We're going to, it is now 10:21. We will take a 5-minute break. We will reconvene at 10:31. And we will, since the rest of the cases are those of Eddie, we will take them in appearance. So those of you all who are here, please get with Eddie so that you can get taken care of.
I didn't know we were going to take a break. I would have waited.
Okay, we'll reconvene our January 10th, 2013 Code Enforcement Board meeting. We just want to note Ms. Himes was not feeling well, so she is asked to be excused for the remainder of the meeting. At this time, we'll hear our lien reviews. We have two lien reviews to hear today. We'll ask
Respondent for both cases.
Okay, same respondent for both cases. All right, Mr. Garcia.
I do. Good morning, board. I'd like to put both cases together. It's the same property. It's 924 Colonial Drive. My name is Hector Garcia. I'm the code enforcement manager for the city of Daytona Beach. My credentials are on the file. The property that we're going to be discussing is 924 Colonial Drive, Land Trust.
No. Five.
Oh, I'm sorry. I apologize. There it is. 554 Cedar Street, Daytona Beach. Sorry. Property owner is Land Trust, 555 Cedar, in care of Rosa Casares. It is a dorm living violation as well as a maintenance issue. The maintenance portion of it, the lien was up to $15,250. Staff recommends that it be lowered to $3,000 for the maintenance issue to cover the cost of the city. And the dorm living case was $4,800. We recommend that it be brought down to $2,000.
Ms. Casares,
yes.
If you would, please.
I actually fixed...
Can you state your name, please?
Yes,
record?
Rosa Casares.
You raise your right hand. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth and the truth and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Thank you. Sorry about that.
Oh, it's okay. I actually fixed all the issues on this property. I just never contacted Hector because I didn't know that that was the whole process of when you received a letter. I fixed all the issues that were on it. And then I realized that I had to contact him. Like, I had people living there, mm-hmm. So I know there was, like, a period of time where I had to get everyone out, which I did, and I was in compliance. This, because this was back in the beginning of January.
Mm-hmm.
So I did fix everything that was needed to be fixed. I know that I couldn't, there would be no way that it would pass code for me to get an occupation license at all, like, because the house is pretty old, so therefore I moved everybody out. I fixed the issues that were still stated and put the house up for sale. I have people living there now that I'm just waiting for their down payment, when their income tax come, so I can change. I'm keeping it in the trust that I have it in, and just changing the beneficiaries to them. So I just think the amount that I'm being charged is just way too much, because I already put so much money into the home to sell it, and I didn't want to leave it alone, because any property that I leave alone, it just gets stripped to nothing, like the ACs, anything that I have in any home that I leave vacant. So therefore, that's why I move the people in that I have now and just wait till they're able to give me a down payment for the home, so I don't just leave it, you know, get trashed pretty much.
The recommendation is to reduce the fine for the lien review one to $3,000, and for the second fine to $2,000. What is your response to those? For a total of $5,000 from your original fine of $19,800 down to $5,000.
Well, I mean, I feel like that's too much already. I didn't know that the whole process of it getting to $15,000 until I spoke to another code enforcement that said you have, a lien of $15,000, and I didn't even know that it would even get to that point. So what I'm saying is that I don't mind paying some of it, because, I did have people living in the home, and, there was issues with the house, but I felt like I fixed all those issues, that I shouldn't have to pay $5,000.
Okay, have you received all the notifications?
I don't know if I received them all. I've received some, and some that I've checked on the internet.
Has anything been returned to us, Amy?
No.
No. Okay.
Green cards have been signed for our notifications.
And that's when I found out that my lien was $15,000.
Is this a single family house?
Yes.
Are you living there?
No.
So you're renting it out right now?
No, I'm not renting it. It's actually, by the 2 weeks that I'm here, it will no longer be mine. I'm changing the trust.
Can I know your name's Rosa, but what is your relationship to the land trust?
I'm the beneficiary of the trust.
Okay. And I noticed that in one... that you've sold the house.
Right.
Is that correct? The trust has sold the house?
Yes.
Do you have any documentation that shows that?
I don't have it with me, but I do.
What do you have?
I have a contract of sale.
You do?
Yes. And the only thing that reason that Hector had an issue with it was because it was still stayed in the trust, but the property will stay in the trust. It's just going to change beneficiaries, because I'm keeping it as a revocable trust, meaning if they don't pay me within 60 days, I can take the property back. So the property will always stay in the trust until, obviously, they pay it. It's just going to change beneficiaries from me to them.
So that's not... Is that a sale? Considered a sale?
You need a mortgage or...
Yes, there's a mortgage. Like, they give me a down payment, yes.
Okay. But they haven't done that yet. They're waiting till they get their tax returns.
Right.
Okay.
Ms. Cazares, all of the information that relates to notifying you of the property was delivered to you. So, when you make the statement that you were not aware that a fine was accruing, it's hard to dispel the facts when you've signed for everything that has been sent to you to notify you that the property was accruing this fine on a daily basis until compliance was set. And we see that you, compliance was achieved January 25th of last year when the order actually went into effect, some months there before.
Right.
So, the question of your response to the inspector's recommendation is just a question. It's up to the board whether to even consider to reduce the fine, total fine to $5,000. So there is no evidence to dispute, if you will, that you were not notified. All evidence that we have shows that you were properly notified and that you did sign for every notice regarding this property. Okay. Any response to that?
No.
Okay. Any other questions from members of the board? The recommendation from staff is to, are we combining these liens? We'll just leave them. Okay. All right. Okay. Recommendation from staff with regards to lien number one, address is 554 Cedar Street, is to reduce our fine $15,000 to $3,000, and lien review number two to reduce our fine of $4,800 to $2,000 was the recommendation of staff. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion made by Ms. Kundig. Is there a second?
Second.
Motion seconded by Mr. Smart. Any discussion?
We need a timetable within a certain amount of days.
That was the next question. Ms. Kundig, you have the motion payable within.
Can I ask a question?
Yes, yes.
When could you comfortably pay this fine?
I'm going to need time.
How much time?
I'm not sure. A few months. I mean, $5,000 is a lot.
Yes, it is.
Something that I don't have. So.
She needs a date.
I need a date.
If I may, staff is willing to recommend 90 days payable, the $5,000. If not, it reverts back to the original amount. That would give her approximately, well, not approximately, it would give her 3 months.
Giving her until April 3rd?
Correct. I mean, I don't really know what to say.
April 10th. 3 months.
Oh, okay. We go from this date. Okay, giving you until April 10th. That is the that's the recommendation.
Okay. Is there any way that I could have? I mean, I don't know what's too much time, but maybe 6 months to pay it.
That's up to the board, but I would have to leave it to the motion maker at this time as to the time window on the motion that's on the floor.
Do you think you could raise the money in 6 months?
I'm hoping that I can.
Motion on the floor and has been seconded. We are waiting for the...
I
just want everyone to know where we are. We're waiting for the additional timeline to put onto the motion for us to consider.
And I generally like to go with what the city recommends. I'm willing to give, instead of 3 months, maybe 4 months, 120 days to do this.
Okay.
So I'd like to amend my motion to 120 days.
Yeah. You understand that if you don't pay the $4,000 or whatever we come to agree to, it reverts to almost $20,000.
I do.
So it's to your interest to pay it.
No, I mean... Definitely. Okay. I just wasn't expecting that amount.
Okay. Motion made by Ms. Kundig. Do you accept that amendment? Mr. Smart had the second on that, didn't he?
Yes.
Mr. Smart, the...
Give until when?
120 days, giving her until, is that May 1st? May 10th.
Time.
Giving her
until... Go ahead.
Chair, and maybe the other attorneys can help. This is just one I'm trying to figure out. In this circumstance, and trying to understand everything she's doing right now in terms of transferring the property, I just have a concern that we're expecting a property transfer, and then this reattachment of a lien, and does it impact her, or does it just impact, will this be impacting these new owners, and then would they need some, I don't know, maybe...
The new owner will get, obviously the lien goes to the land. So if the new owners buy it, the new owner's going to take the lien.
Right.
And if she doesn't pay it, it's going to be back to $19,000.
And there's not nothing recorded at this point. She only have a contract. So,
Mr. Jackson, are you suggesting maybe that we shorten the time to make sure that it stays with...
Well, maybe the way to solve it is to require her to notify these new owners, but I don't know how we can...
Isn't that their responsibility to find out all liens associated with the property when they're making the purchase?
Yeah,
we'll deal with that every month.
I think at the same time you want to satisfy your intent.
Hmm.
You know, just to...
Purchasing it, would that not have the amount of money to pay at the time of sale?
Well, the show 1980. It's been recorded, right? The original.
Yeah, the lien is recorded.
It's 1980 right now.
you need to be aware of that.
Can we just get them addressed? Take the loaners and send them? Do they know what's going on? At least
I mean, a contract for sale, though, can just fall apart.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, that's that.
Okay.
That's,
I just was kind of think out loud, reason out. And I think y'all made some good points. I'm fine with where we were. I don't have
a problem.
Speaking with the respondent, she stated that she's actually the one that's going to be holding the mortgage for the buyers. So the lien would still stay in place with the trust until the property's paid for, and then they get the clear title afterwards. So the trust, being the property owner, the lien would still be on the property owner, which is the actual trust.
Seller and buyer figure this one out. I'm
right. All right, just to repeat the motion so everyone is clear. A motion's been made by Ms. Kundick, seconded by Mr. Smart, to reduce our lien amount on the first lien review to $3,000 and the lien amount on the second lien review to $2,000 for a total of $5,000 payable by May 10th, 2013, or the total reverts back to the recorded total. April was the 90 and May was the 120, right?
Yes.
March, April, May.
Yeah.
Right.
May 10th. 2013, payable to the city within that timeline, or the lien reverts back to the current total with the cap on the first lien of $15,000. And I guess the second lien is still running its...
The original amount plus...
Okay, the original amount plus interest. Is that motion clear? All righty. Any questions? Yes, sir.
Is the property under lien? Do you have a mortgage on the property? Or is it free and clear?
It's free and clear.
You ought to be able to go out and obtain a mortgage to take care of this $5,000.
I don't really want a mortgage.
I think you should consult with your attorney.
Right, yeah. I mean, I'll definitely... I'm a person of my word, so...
Yeah.
But you know, I will have the money.
Consult
for sure.
With counsel.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, any other questions? Seeing none, all in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. What we've done, Ms. Cazares, is reduced your lien amount total to $5,000, payable to the City of Daytona no later than May 10th, 2013, or your fine reverts back to the current total.
Okay.
All righty.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. And just so we'll know, as we move through the agenda, page 1, 2 have all been disposed of. We're on page 3, case number 9, and for the record, case number 5, 6, 7, and 8 have all been disposed of. We're at case number 9, CB1212143, trust number 551, care of Dennis C. Riggins, trustee, property located 551 Cedar Street. Seeing the respondent not present, Mr. Lopez, what can you tell us?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. The property is still with renters, and nothing has been done as of this morning.
All
so
right.
It's still in noncompliance.
All righty. We're here today for consideration and imposition of a fine. Based on the inspector's report, motion is to be considered for the imposition of a $250 fine for failure to obtain an occupational license effective today. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Motion made by Mr. Smart.
What's that?
Yeah, violations and
the one-time fine. So there's violations. It was $100 a day for non-compliance, and then the one-time fine for the rental license.
All right. Let me restate that motion.
Yeah.
All righty. Property located again at 551 Cedar Street. Recommendation is for $100 a day fine, effective today, and a one-time administrative fee of $250 for failure to obtain an occupational license. Is there such a motion?
Second.
Motion made by Mr. Smart, seconded by Mr. Borns. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries.
All right. Mr. Chairman, if we could take care of a respondent that's currently here.
Yes.
Her address is the last 31.
All right.
316 North Ridgewood Avenue.
Case number 31, CB011317, Lisa and William McCarthy, property located at 316 North Ridgewood Avenue. If you can step to the mic, state your name, ma'am, and your relationship to the owner, if you're not the owner, and be sworn in.
Hi, good morning. Lisa McCarthy, 3 Pine Bluff Trail, Ormond Beach, Florida, the owner.
You solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I did.
All righty, we'll hear from our inspector, ma'am, and then we'll get an opportunity to respond.
Mr. Chairman, it's Eddie Lopez with Daytona Beach Code Enforcement, introducing a case number 01301317, City of Daytona Beach versus Lisa and William McCarthy. Property address is 316 North Ridgewood Avenue. Property address is 3815-3352-00210. Pictures about to see are true and accurate. This property has excessive exterior damage. The window broken. Exterior walls cracked. Part of the side of the roof was damaged. That needs to be addressed. Overhang extension that needs to be either cleaned or removed. It's been weathered. And also accumulation of garbage, rubbish. I did an inspection yesterday afternoon. The garbage has been removed. My understanding is that she obtained 2 estimates for stucco and siding, which a permit will be obtained. The city is requesting 30 days to come into compliance. I have been in contact with Ms. Lisa McCarthy. She has informed me on the contractors and what she's planning to do with the property. I'll let her speak on the amount of time she's requesting.
Ms. McCarthy?
Good morning. How are you?
Good morning.
I had called Mr. Lopez right before the holidays. Unfortunately, I had a problem when I first got the letter. My mother-in-law had a stroke and kind of threw things off. And I've always, just so you know, I have a lot of property here in town, and I've always worked with code enforcement anytime there's ever been a problem, and I always do what I say. And I had called him before the holidays and asked him if I could have a couple weeks because I was going to be going out of town. And he had said, fine. So I dropped the ball, didn't do anything thinking that I had until the end of January, which is what he had said. He said, I'd work with you. So I kind of dropped the ball with getting estimates. So as soon as I came back, I started getting estimates, and I haven't decided which way to go. And I realized 30 days I thought would be fine, but I can't get contractors to show up. Half of them just don't come. So I'm asking if I could have 60 days because I want to make sure that I get somebody that does the work right. And I can't decide if I want to go with stucco or if I want to side. Most of the damage that he's talking about is on the back wall of the property. There's just a few spots on the rest of the property. But it's a big job, and it's a lot of money, and I want to make sure I get it done correctly. So I'm thinking now that 30 days might not be okay, if I could have 60. But otherwise, the property is maintained. The people that I have in there have been very good about anything we ask them. They clean up their garbage if there's a problem. I knew it needed painting. It's been something that every time I drove by, I said, I have to get that place painted. So it was just lack of time and you know, for me to get it done in time. So 60 days would be better for me if I could.
Questions from members of the board? Staff's position on allowing the respondent until March 6th?
That's fine.
Seeing no questions, Chair will entertain a motion. Ms. McCarthy, do you acknowledge that some or all of the violations existed at the time of notice?
Yes, I do.
All righty. Chair will entertain a motion, find a respondent in noncompliance, allow the respondent until March 6th to bring the property into compliance if it returned to the board for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Motion made by Mr. Harrington, seconded by Mr. Bourne. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. All righty, Ms. McCarthy, we've given you until March 6th to bring the property in compliance.
I will, thank you.
All righty. Okay, while we're on page number 8, case number 30 is in compliance as of January 9th. We'll consider case number 29, which is CB011315, Richard J. Bourne Retirement Trust, property located at 212 Reva Street. What can you tell us?
Mr. Chairman, this property, 212 Reva Street, is in compliance after today, this morning.
All righty.
The 10th, January 10th.
Property's in compliance as of January 10th. Okay. Going back to page 4, case number 10, CEB 1212144, trust number 121, care of Dennis C. Riggins. Property located at 121 Lockhart Street. What can you tell us, Mr. Lopez?
Mr. Chairman, the property is still in non-compliance. City is requesting a fine of $100 a day for each, $100 a day for non-compliance of the violation.
Maximum?
$10,000. It's a residential, well, single family, $10,000. Yeah, no. It's 15. 15, right. Mr. Chairman. Today.
All right.
Have you been in touch with these people?
I've been in touch with the person that's supposedly taking care of the property, but I haven't been in contact with the property owner. The property owner lives out of state.
Have we attempted to mail them notification?
Oh, yes.
Has it been returned, or?
I think it was posted. And what was that card? It was returned on claim and posted.
Okay. Recommendation from staff is to fine the respondent $100 a day starting today with a cap of $15,000. Is there such a motion?
Moved.
Second.
Motion made by Ms. Kundick, seconded by Mr. Bourne's. Motion as is to fine the respondent $100 a day with a maximum of $15,000. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Case number 11 is CEB 1212141, Naomi Brown, property located at 644 Division Street. What can you tell us, Mr. Lopez?
They did some cleaning up, and it's still in non-compliance, Mr. Chairman. I have been in contact with Rachel Brown, daughter of Naomi Brown,
mm-hmm.
And her son. They still haven't pulled the permit. They still haven't done the completion of the exterior. They did cover up the vehicle, but the property is still in non-compliance.
So you
city is requesting $100 a day for each day of non-compliance. $10,000. I'm sorry, it's owner occupied. It's $10,000, and that's it.
So I just want to make sure. You said the property owner has been in contact with you. They just haven't.
No, I've spoken with the daughter, Rochelle Brown, Naomi Brown's daughter,
mm-hmm.
and the son, but they haven't. You know, they haven't completed the whole violation issues. They haven't still completed it. They still need to obtain a permit. They haven't done that, and the only thing they've done was clean up part of the property and cover the vehicle.
The process, just asking, Eddie, the process of obtaining the permits, is this something they're going to need a contractor to do?
Yes.
Okay. I just want to make sure we're not over-penalizing, not saying that we
no,
are.
No, they're going to need a contractor because they have this tile type for the exterior.
Is that asbestos tile?
Yes.
Is it asbestos?
It seems like that tile, that hard tile, that asbestos type tile. So they're going to need a contractor to remove that. If you could go to the house, please, so they could take a look at the house. See, on the south side of the property,
mm-hmm.
and on the lower and the towards the rear part of the property, that has extensive damage.
Well, they were notified of the meeting, so if they wanted more time, they could have showed up to ask for it. All right. Any other questions?
Have they done anything?
Like I said earlier, they have cleaned up the property at my request and covered the vehicle.
It's not really looking cleaned up to me. Are those the old pictures I'm looking at then that doesn't?
There's some new pictures there.
Okay.
That's a new picture.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So they have cleaned up a bit.
Okay.
But
the vehicle.
They haven't completed. It's still in non-compliance is what I'm trying
right.
to get
okay.
at.
All right. Chair will entertain a motion. Find a respondent $100 a day starting today with a maximum of $10,000 or until the violation has been fixed. Such a motion?
So moved. Second.
Motion made by Mr. Smart, seconded by Mr. Borns. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Case number 12, CB1212147, Pyramid Leasing Incorporated. Property located at 538 Dr. Mary McLeod Bethune Boulevard. Seeing the respondent not present, Mr. Lopez, what can you tell us?
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, the property is still in noncompliance. The signage still is current, and the city is requesting $100 a day for each day of noncompliance, maximum out of $15,000.
Any questions? Chair will entertain a motion. Find a respondent $100 a day starting today with a maximum of $15,000 or until compliance is achieved. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion made by Ms. Kundick, seconded by Mr. Harrington. Any questions? Was that Mr. Harrington or Mr. Smart? Mr. Smart. Sorry about that. Seconded by Mr. Smart. Any questions? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Case number 13 is CB1212148. Pyramid Leasing Incorporated. Property address is 544 Dr. Mary McLeod Bethune Boulevard.
Still in noncompliance, Mr. Chairman. City is requesting $100 a day for each day of noncompliance, maximum of $15,000.
Chair will entertain a motion finding the respondent $100 per day with a maximum of $15,000 or until compliance is achieved. Is there such a motion?
Move.
Motion made by Mr. Harrington.
Yes.
Motion made by Mr. Smart?
No, second.
Oh, motion made by Mr. Smart. Motion made by Mr. Harrington, seconded by Mr. Smart. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Both these are handled by, Pyramid Leasing?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Have you been in contact with them?
No, sir. The property owners, like I said, on the last meeting, they were in Georgia. I get a saying that they deceased and one stating that they're in Georgia. So.
Well, the property's been posted.
Yes, it has.
Mm-hmm. I just can't imagine someone just ignoring.
Well, someone is ignoring because someone is ignoring because I spoke with a Glenn Herring, which so-called was supposed to be the caretaker of the property, and nothing as of date has been done.
Okay. Motion has been made and properly seconded. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Case number 14, CB1212150, Victor Ingram and Agnes Ingram, property located at 526 Wallace Street, here for a consideration of the imposition of a one-time administrative fee of $250. What can you tell us?
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Victor Ingram was here at the last hearing. He was supposed to obtain the rental license. The property is still rented, and no rental license has been obtained. City is requesting that a one-time fine of $250 be imposed.
All righty. Chair will entertain a motion to find a respondent one-time administrative fee of $250 for failure to obtain a rental license. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion made by Mr. Bourne.
Second.
Mr. Harrington. Any questions? All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Effective yes. Today. All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Page number 5, case number 15, 16, 17, 18, and 19 have all been disposed of. Page number 6, case number 20, 21, 22, 23 have all been disposed of. Page number 7, case number 24, 25, 26, 27 have all been disposed of. We're considering case number 28, CB011314, Pyramid Leasing, property located at 538. Mary McLeod Bethune Boulevard here today for compliance, non-compliance.
Okay, Eddie Lopez, Daytona Beach Code Enforcement, case number 011314, City of Daytona Beach versus Pyramid Leasing Inc. Property address is 538 Dr. Mary Bethune Boulevard. Property address is 538 Dr. Mary Bethune Boulevard. Parcel ID 38153397040060. Pictures about to see is true and accurate. This property, is, as you can see through the pictures, has damaged fencing, high grass and weeds, trash, junk, and debris, and just scattered all over the rear of the property. I have tried to get Mr. Glenn Herring from 386-566-1974 to clean up the property to no avail.
Does Mr. Herring live in town? Do you know? I mean, when you're calling him?
I don't know. I just know he's the caretaker, supposed to be the caretaker of the property. I've contacted him through the phone, spoke with him via the phone to clean up the property, and nothing has been done. So.
There's no office for Pyramid Leasing anywhere?
No, sir. Those building there is vacant.
But there's a caretaker.
All righty. Chair will entertain a motion to find a respondent in noncompliance, allowing the respondent until February 6th to bring the property into compliance or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion made by Mr. Smart, seconded by Mr. Bourns. Any discussion?
Just one thing. Amy, if you go ahead and at least check to see if, so we have three cases with the same Pyramid Leasing, to check with the corporation. Maybe they can send notice to the resident agent.
Yes. Everything has been sent to you.
Okay, but you did contact the resident agent of the corporation?
Yes.
Okay.
She has the same address.
That's fine. I'll make sure. We'll cover our bases. That's all.
I'd like to point out that this case number 28 is the same address as case number 12.
Mm-hmm.
Case number 12 is the illegal sign.
Yeah. Just want to make sure the corporation or resident agent is it.
Yeah, also, for the record, I did obtain an address for Virginia Smith at 1621 Cherry Lake Way and Heathrow, which was returned unclaimed. So okay. Effort has been made to try and make contact with the property owner. Pyramid Leasing, 1621 Cherry Lake Way and Heathrow. I got that from speaking to someone on the street there. Any type of evidence I could obtain to get in contact, I tried.
Okay. Motion's been made and properly seconded. Any other discussion?
Well, just to explain that their corporation, they would have to have their item report them every year.
Right.
So there would be a president of a resident agent. Mm-hmm. She contacted a resident agent and then got contact.
Right.
I mean, they don't have to. They could post the property, but this makes it.
Right. We've gone the extra mile. All right. All in favor of the motion say aye.
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 All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. That exhausts our agenda in a miscellaneous business.
Well, let's make a comment on one case here.
Yes, sir.
We voted on case number 9, and it was as a fine. Shouldn't it technically read $250 administrative fee?
He changed it to administrative fee when he said it the second time.
Yeah. Did we?
Yeah, when he said the second time, he said $100 fine. Okay. And because I'll call it the first time.
Okay. I just want to make sure it's in the records correctly.
Yeah.
All right. Any other announcements?
Congratulations, Mr. Chairman.
Well, thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Vice Chairman.
Thank you.
Ms. Kundig, anything?
Nothing.
All right. Mr. Bourns? Mr. Smart?
No.
Mr. Harrington? Mr. Sino?
We'll let the. You're not going to be here.
Yes.
We should let Ms. Kundig
go.
Give her free notice.
Gotcha.
You'll be here, though, right?
Yes. Any comments or?
What flavors?
From staff? All righty. Seeing none, we are adjourned.